Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
I'd like to start by asking you a question. Do you like maths? Do you like maths? If you like maths, put your hands up. Let's see. Quite a lot of the beavers like maths. Quite a lot of the cubs do. Guides, not so much. If you don't like maths, stick your hands up. Interesting, maybe half and half. And whether or not you like maths, have you ever been faced with a maths problem that you didn't know how to solve? Ever been faced with a maths problem you didn't know how to solve? Oh, that's brilliant. That's kind of universal experience. And I wonder if when faced with a sheet of sums you didn't know how to solve, I wonder how you felt or how you feel. I won't ask you to put your hands up this time. Wonder how you feel when faced with a problem you can't solve. I'll come back to maths in a minute. As you know, today is Remembrance Sunday. And Remembrance Sunday is a day on which we remember the contribution of military and civilian servicemen and women from Britain and from other parts of the Commonwealth, and that all that they did in the two world wars and later conflicts. On the war memorials behind me are the names of young men from this parish, many of whom were teenagers who died in the First and Second World War. And at the end of the service, I encourage you to come up here and just read the list of names. It never ceases to amaze me that there are lots of young men who have the same surname, which suggests they were from the same family. The fact that my own son is now 18 years old, and there are lots of 18-year-olds on these boards, makes it all the more real. For me, the purpose of Remembrance Sunday is not to glorify war or glorify patriotism. Quite the opposite. It is to remember the cost of war and the destruction that is wrought by war, in the hope that we learn the lessons of the past and those horrors are never repeated in the future. If I'm perfectly honest, this year I have found it hard to write a sermon for Remembrance Sunday. And the reason that I found it hard is because every single day when I listen to the news, I'm reminded that we haven't learned the lessons of the past. The war in Ukraine has been going on for 2 years, 8 months, 2 weeks, and 3 days. Over 44,000 people have been killed in the conflict in the Middle East. More than 43,000 of those are Palestinian. Worldwide, almost 123 million have been displaced due to persecution, conflict, violence, and human rights violations. Civilians continue to suffer in places like Ethiopia, Myanmar, Yemen, and Syria, although they barely make the headlines these days. The American election has led to further polarization between those on the left and those on the right, and fear about what the future might hold. And let's not forget, many people feel that religion is to blame for a lot of these conflicts. To go back to maths, when I look at our world, I can't even begin to imagine how we might solve some of the complex problems we face. Humanity seems singularly unable to learn from the past, and so when I watch the news, I feel utterly, utterly powerless. In fact, I know a number of people who no longer watch the news because they find it is simply not helpful for their mental health. Earlier this week, when the American election results came out, a friend of mine who's also a church leader posted a prayer on Facebook. This is what the prayer says. It's a familiar one. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I don't know how to solve the problems we face in our world, and I rather suspect that you're in the same position as me. But there are some things that I believe we can do. Today's Bible reading comes from a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. And the background to the letter is that the church in Rome was made up of people who were both Jewish and non-Jewish, people from different religious and cultural, and in some cases, national backgrounds. And around AD 41, the Roman emperor at the time expelled all of the Jews from Rome, so they were forced to leave. But several years later, they were allowed to return. And when they returned, they found that the church that they had belonged to in Rome had changed significantly. And so there was a huge culture clash between the Jewish Christians and the Christians who didn't come from a Jewish background. And so the letter to the Romans addresses the issue of division and anger and persecution of one another. And it calls the Christian community to be unified, to form a diverse community who are united by their shared faith in Jesus. One of the things I like about the letter to the Romans is it recognises that with all of those different perspectives in one community, conflict was inevitable. There's something very real about that. Conflict is part of life. If you bring together people who are different, we won't see eye to eye. But it also recognises that even when there is vast difference, peace and reconciliation are possible. If you read the whole of the letter to the Romans, the argument that Paul makes is that Jesus made peace between God and humanity through his death on the cross, and that we can make peace with one another if we emulate the character of Christ and allow our own instincts for violence and anger and division and revenge to die with Christ. So what we have here in Romans 12 is essentially a description of new humanity. It is a call for us to live differently in order to bring about peace and reconciliation. And just listen again to the teaching that comes in Romans 12. Again, in this community who are divided, who disagree with one another, who have all sorts of complex histories that set one group against the other, it says, be devoted to one another in love. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Honour one another above yourselves. Share with people who are in need. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony. Be willing to associate with people of low position. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What an extraordinary list of teaching. Now, for many of us, when faced with a difficult maths problem, it seems insoluble until a teacher or someone who's a mathematician sits down with us and shows us how to work it out. And then sometimes a really complex problem begins to look different, and we feel that possibly we can begin to solve it. And Paul is teaching the church how to work out the problem division, long division, pardon the pun, if you will. This is what he's saying. He's just saying, in the face of all of this division, here is what I suggest you do. Now, when I look at what's happening in the news, especially what's happening in the Middle East, I feel utterly powerless. And yet, thinking about my own context, the culture and the community of which I'm a part, I can take responsibility for the way that I act towards people I disagree with. I can choose to love people that I don't like. I can speak well of people who think and vote differently from me. I can do good things for all people because they're people, even if their behaviour is bad or wrong. And like a difficult maths problem, living like this is not easy. It takes effort and a change of attitude, and it does take the help of the Holy Spirit. Albert Einstein, a man who was very good at maths, said this: "You cannot solve a problem with the same mind that created it. You cannot solve a problem with the same mind that created it." Romans chapter 12 in verse 2, Paul says something similar. He says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. If we can think differently, we can act differently. By rejecting evil and taking responsibility for our own behavior, we can break the cycle of division and aggression. Yes, maybe not at the level of global politics, but possibly if we do it at this level, and if we all play our part in our world, that begins to have a significant impact. I always find Remembrance Sunday moving, because reflecting on the cost of war is moving, and it is costly for those who serve in our armed forces. I know that firsthand from my grandfather, and I know it from my aunt and uncle who've both served in the army, and they bear the emotional scars of active service. It is costly. But I am determined, because of that, that we should seek to learn the lessons of the past, and that we should seek to live differently as we look to the future. I do believe that there is hope, and I do believe we can live differently. And don't worry if you are no good at maths, because that is what calculators are for.